CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Thursday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. Hey, we get together every weekday afternoon at this time for about an hour to answer questions about the Bible from the Bible. And if you got a Bible question, we'd just love to answer that for you. You know, sometimes we read, come across something we don't understand, or we see that, is this a contradiction? No, listen, God's Word doesn't have contradictions in it. It's just the way we understand it. And so if you've been reading your Bible, come across something that you don't understand, you need an answer, hey, we're here for you. That number to call again, real simple, 8888-ASK-CSN. You can be part of the program today. Got some lines open, so if you call, you're assured to get on right now. Joining me today, special guest, Daryl Skinner from Calvary Chapel, Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, and with the program here in the morning times called A Chosen Generation here on CSN. And Daryl, welcome to the program.
To another time of helping people grow in their faith and draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, to know their Heavenly Father deeper and richer, to be soul winners and disciples. This is what it's all about. Let God use our lives and be blessed by Him. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. What a great God we serve, Mike. It's so good to be with you.
Amen. And if you're in the Oahu area, I know Daryl would love to see you at church this Sunday.
Sure.
And Daryl, tell us about the service times and, hey, what are you going to be teaching on?
Yeah, we just finished the book of 1 John, so we'll be starting 2 John, and it's all about truth, and we'll cover the entire book in one day. It's also Communion Sunday. We always have communion on the first Sunday of the month. It's always a great time of getting together, having that communion, and our service times are at 8:30 and 10:30, so if you're on Oahu, or you're coming into Honolulu at any time here before Sunday, come join us. We'd love to have you and the fellowship with you, and make sure you say hi to me and just ask for me, and I'd be happy to get together with you and find out what's going on in your life and how God's blessing you and using your life. It's just a great joy, Mike, because we know that we get people from all over the country and even different parts of the world that come flying into Hawaii and just have a good vacation time, or maybe it's transfer of work, could be the military. And I love it when they just come and they say they're listening to Every Man an Answer, to CSN, and they're growing in their faith. And it's just a great blessing, as I said, Mike.
What a wonderful, wonderful opportunity you have, not only to enjoy Hawaii, but go see Daryl Skinner. Boy, that's pretty cool. If you're in the southern, if you're in the southern Idaho area, we'd like to invite you to the River Christian Fellowship. Just follow the signs to Shoshone Falls, and you'll find us. We're about a couple, about a mile and a half away from the Great Waterfall, and so we'd love to see you here. And I think you'll have a great time as we continue our study in the Book of Acts, looking at the Apostle Paul there in Jerusalem as he's trying to reach out to his fellow brethren. Well, it doesn't go so well, and we're going to be reading more about that this Sunday, 10 o'clock, in person, 10:30 on the radio, and of course, around the world on the internet. Anywhere you can hear CSN, you can pick us up there, 10:30 Mountain Time. So if you have a chance, tune in. We'd love to have you there. And again, with that, we can go to the phones. Again, 8888-ASK-CSN is the number to call, and we have Rachel on the line in Texas. Hi, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How may we help, dear?
I had a question about Paul. I'm not sure exactly what book it's in, but I had a question about the verse where he says that he would be willing to be cut off from Christ for the sake of the Jews. And I don't know, it's been on my heart for like a while now, and I just can't figure out like why. I mean, I don't know. I understand, kind of. I mean, I see what he's saying, that the Jews are, you know, God's people. But I just don't understand, like, how he could be willing to be cut off from Christ if he, I mean, he's willing to die for Christ, so how, like, why would he be willing to be cut off from him?
Right, exactly. And, you know, there's a lot of discussion on whether Paul should have ever went to Jerusalem in the first place, being that he said that he was going to go to the Gentiles, and God mightily blessed him going to the Gentiles. And then everywhere he went, there, again, in Acts chapter 21 and all, that he was being warned, don't go to Jerusalem. But, you know, I don't know. There's discussions both ways, whether God had just implanted in his heart so deep to go minister to his fellow countrymen. And I believe that's where the roots of that remark come from, was he was so convinced that he could open the eyes of his brethren concerning who Christ was, not realizing the hardness of their heart. And then when we look in the scripture, we look at an entire picture of Paul being warned not to go, that God had sent him to the Gentiles. He sent Peter to the Jews. Tells me one of two things. Number one, God's great. And of course, he always is. And God is greater than the things we've done wrong. So even if his heart was in the right place, but not what God wanted him to do, God still used the rest of Paul's life in a tremendous way in ministry, so we know that God still used him. I look at that the same way with all of us. We're just people, and we get driven by our passions and by our desires, and he had such a love for his fellow countrymen that he was willing to give up everything that he might be able to reach out to his own. Daryl, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, it reminds me of what Jesus said there in John chapter 15. He says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends. If you do what I command you, this is my commandment, that you love one another. In other words, Paul was literally saying, I would lay down my life if only my Jewish family, Jewish brethren, if you will, would come to Christ for salvation. He so wanted them to be saved. It was his heart's desire for them to have the blindness that Satan has put on their eyes to be removed, that veil and so forth, that they would see that Jesus truly is the Christ, the Mashiach, their Messiah. So this is, Paul's just writing the desires of his heart. He knew it couldn't be done. He couldn't die for his people or be rejected by God and then the people get saved. He knew it wasn't, but he was just sharing his heart and his overwhelming desire that they would come to salvation. And it's unfortunate because as we look to the gospel message, of course, went to the Jew first, then to the Greeks, the Gentiles. We see on the day of Pentecost, many Jews got saved on the day of Pentecost. They came from all the nations of the world to celebrate that feast of Pentecost. And of course, the 120 got filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in various dialects or languages. They spoke the wonderful works of God. Then Peter stood up and gave the first evangelistic message, calling people to repent and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, come to faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so many Jews got saved at that time, about 3,000 got saved, and then they would go back to their own nations, and they too are filled with the Holy Spirit preaching the gospel. But unfortunately, overall, Jewish people are not coming to Christ for salvation. They don't understand that he is truly the one that fulfilled some 456 prophecies from the Old Testament in regards to the Messiah as Jesus walked this earth. And I think the real one of the main issues is because they don't know their own Torah or their prophets, some major, minor prophets in the history of Israel, as we have been taught to as Christians to study the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. So it's Paul's heart's desire. It's our desire too that all Jews would be saved as well as Gentiles, no matter your persuasion, no matter what you've been involved in, no matter what religion you're from, that they would come to faith in Jesus Christ, let God come into their hearts and be born again. Holy Spirit received salvation. So it's just, I think it's an expression that he's just sharing is from the depths of his heart. Mike, I'll give it back to you.
Amen. And I think that was just something that he was trying to explain how motivated he was to try to reach out to his brethren. I wish that we as Christians today would be that motivated, have such a burning desire to do something for the kingdom of heaven, which he did. So Rachel, I hope that answers that for you.
Yes, that does.
I don't think Paul really wished that he would go to hell so his brethren could go to heaven. I think sometimes we word things that way, and I'm sure he did too. But of course, to live as Christ, die as gain, we knew that Paul crossed the finish line with flying colors, and he did exactly until the day he died what he felt God wanted him to do. And so I think that's a real honor that we have there in looking at the life of the Apostle Paul. So hope that helps, Rachel. Stay online. Send you out a little book called Time to Grow. If you need more, let me know. Great for evangelism. And let's go to Joshua in Southridge, Arizona. Hi, welcome.
How you doing today?
Good. How may we help?
I was just curious. Because I know in the Bible that Jesus has... Was it Gabriel that came to Mary and asked her and said that he would be called Emmanuel?
Mm-hmm.
And I was just curious, how come he's not called that throughout the Bible? Instead, it's Jesus. Is it just a translation?
Well, it's because of different languages, yes. And we find that all the way through, oftentimes referring to his title, referring to what he will do as he comes as the Messiah to the earth, and also the different languages that you look at. Your thoughts, Daryl?
Yeah, Emmanuel, as you said, Mike, is a title that he was given, God with us. It's who he is, and his name is what he's going to do. Jesus is Yehoshua, and it speaks of Jehovah is salvation. In other words, you believe in God, you believe also in me, and then you shall be saved. And of course, being called the Christ, he's the Holy One of God. He's the Anointed One of God. He's the Mashiach, the Messiah. And thus, you see this fullness of who he is. He's God with us, number one, Emmanuel. Number two, his mission is his first name, Jesus, Yeshua, which is this Jehovah, Yahweh, is salvation. And then thirdly, he is the Christ, the Holy One of God, the only Holy One of God. As he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to Father except through me. And so this is very important that people realize there's no other options. And I love that. I love that, that there's just one person that we come to salvation. We don't have to play a guessing game in this world. He's the only one that died on that cross, and he rose from the grave. He conquered sin. He conquered death. He conquered the devil. He offers all who believe in him everlasting life. And all roads don't lead to heaven. There's one person that leads to heaven. He is the righteous and holy Son of God, who died for our sins. Thus, he takes our sins on himself at the cross, and he gives us his righteousness as we get saved. Thus, we're found in the righteousness of Christ, and thus we can go to a righteous and holy heaven. And that's this, what we call the gospel, the good news of the peace of God that comes into our hearts. Mike, I'll give it back to you.
Amen. So I hope that answers it for you. Because again, when we look at this, you know, depending on what language, it depends on how you pronounce it. But that's who he is. And then other times we find what he will do for all of us. Joshua, I hope that helps.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was just curious about that. I was listening to you guys. I've been listening to you guys all day. Today I've been traveling on the road.
And
that question popped up in my head. And I was like, I'm just calling to ask, you know, just didn't know if that was just a translation. I see what you guys are saying on that. Yeah, and I do agree with that.
Well, wonderful. Joshua, stay online. If you like, send you out a book, some little book I send everybody. It's really good. Basics of Christianity. And if you need more, let me know. Great for evangelism. Stay online. They'll get you taken care of. 8888. Ask CSN's the number to call. If you want to be part of the program today, we have Joe on the line in Arkansas. Hi, welcome.
How you doing today?
Good. How may we help?
I come across a book. The Lord has let me to go out and witness what he's done for me. And I come across this book someone shared. It's called Wounded Warrior. And I know you got the pastor there from Hawaii.
Yeah.
I spent 20 years in the service. And I was at Pearl Harbor in the mid-70s through the mid-80s when the Arizona was sticking up way out of the water, and now it's almost gone. And I tore my heart up, maybe upset and mad at the Japanese people at the time. But whenever I read that book, Wounded Warrior, the guy who orchestrated Pearl Harbor and threw his engineer and a POW from China and another person, he found Jesus Christ. He accepted Jesus and spent the rest of his life going around the world and testifying what Jesus had done for him until he died in the at the age of 70-something. But that was so good, because sometimes I'd witness and there'd be people to say, oh, I've done so bad that Jesus couldn't forgive me. And I related some of those stories like that to them, and it actually helped them to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I was wondering if the pastor there from Pearl Harbor, if he'd heard of that wounded warrior, and if his congregation had heard of it, and has it affected them in a positive way?
Well, sure. And Daryl's right there in Pearl Harbor. And Daryl, I understand that they were doing some underwater welding on the Arizona because of its rust and different things like that, trying to preserve it. But on the Wounded Warrior, do you know much about that?
I've heard of it. I have not read the book myself, but I did hear about that testimony of this Japanese general or admiral. I'm not sure which it was, but it's a powerful testimony. And God used his life in a tremendous way. You know, I think it's interesting as we look to the scriptures and we look to so many people that are had done so many wrong things in life, and yet they come to faith in Christ and they're completely forgiven. And I've heard that, Mike, I'm sure you have too, and many other believers. How could God ever forgive me? I've done so many horrible and rotten things and so forth. Well, that's what God is all about. He's about redeeming that which is lost, that which is full of sin, and he wants to change us so that we become a testimony of his love and his goodness and his grace. So, folks, there's no sin beyond God's reach. Even to the, as they say, to the guttermost, he'll save you, to the uttermost. And that's the way our God operates. He's a wonderful Savior. He saved that thief on the cross next to him. He, look at Paul the Apostle. He was killing Christians. He gave the thumbs down to Stephen and had him martyred as he was there at the time in Acts 7. And then later on, he becomes a Christian. He was killing Christians. He was putting them in prison, men, women, and children. And yet he gets saved, and God radically changes his life. There's no sin beyond God's reach. He just loves us so tremendously. The Bible says we're a child of the devil, we're a child of God, and he wants to change us from the child of the devil to the child of God. That comes by being born again of the Holy Spirit, asking Christ, asking God to forgive you of your sins, and inviting Christ in your heart. That simple sinner's prayer, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart one believes in righteousness, with the mouth confession is made to salvation. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But that was a great testimony. I had heard about it. I've not read the book, but it was a great testimony. And my friend, thank you so much for serving in our military. I think you said, was it the Navy? And thank you for serving and of course, being stationed here in Honolulu, Hawaii, and Pearl Harbor. If you ever come to Hawaii, you've got to do the tour there at Pearl Harbor. It is very moving. It's very informative and educational, of course. And you learn a lot about the attack. They have a museum. They have a video. You go out to the Arizona and so forth. And it's just very, very powerful. I do have a good friend of mine. I'll ask him about it. He might know because he's a historian over there at Pearl Harbor, and I'll ask him about that just to see if I can glean some more information on it. But sounds like you've used that book in a tremendous way to reach others for Christ, and I would encourage you to keep up the good work, my friend.
Mike, amen.
I'll hand it back to you.
Yeah, and when we look at, as an example, Jesus was crucified between the thieves, and Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." There in 1 second when he said, the thief said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." You know, there was an argument that broke out between the two thieves. A lot of people don't know about this, but the thief called out to Jesus and said, "If you're the Son of God, save yourself and us too." And the other thief said, "Don't you fear God?" He said, "We deserve to be up here, but this man's done nothing wrong." And then he said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus, that instant, said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." All of his sins gone, just like that. Brand new start. It doesn't matter whether we got a few seconds to live or we got an entire life to live. Hey, listen, today's the first day of living your life for him and laying up for yourself treasure in heaven. So important in the days that we're in. Hope that helps, Joe.
I want to say on that book, it covers POWs in China, POWs in the Philippines, a missionary that worked 20 years in Japan. And there's like 8 different people that are tied into this one conflict. And the enemies on both sides, American and the others, the Chinese and the Japanese, there's like eight different people that came to Christ.
It's
a real good book. It's worth the $25. I bought one for every one of my grandkids.
Wow. Well, Joe, thanks so much for the heads up. And I got a little book for you. I'll send out to you. Stay on the line. We'll get you fixed up. A little book called Time to Grow. Great outline for those that come to Christ, what to expect now that you're a believer in him, and also what to look for in a church. If you're shopping for a church, the basic fundamentals. So stay on the line. We'll get you taken care of. Thanks so much for the call. Again, 8888. Ask CSN's the number to call. We have Johnny on the line, Emmett, Idaho. Hi, welcome.
Hey, pastors. Yeah, I got a question. So I wanted to know, like in the book of John, Jesus refers to John as the one he loves. And I know that, like he says that, you know, in him there is like nothing, I don't know, I can't remember, I can't quote it quite clearly, but I think nothing false in him, like pretty much like he's real truthful. But he says like the Bible says that the one he loves. So I just want to understand that type of love, what is he talking about? And that love that he has for him, what is the difference between that love and the other love that he has for the disciples? Is it the same love?
It is the same, and John just recognized it. You'll find oftentimes in John's gospel, he will refer to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, Jesus loved the other disciples just as much. But one of the things that always brought out in John's ministry was God's great love for us. And again, look at John 3:16, for God so loved the world. See, all the way through, you find this emphasis in the Apostle John writing, exemplifying that great love. And again, it isn't that God didn't love the other disciples. It's that Jesus, because he loved them all the same. But John recognized the disciple whom Jesus loved. He wanted people to know that God does, in fact, love them. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, John is referred to as John the Beloved. And yet also in the writings of 1 John and so forth, you find that he refers to all of us as beloved of God. So he just takes what he experienced from the Lord and expresses it for all of us also. And you know what? John is, I hope I'm not out of bounds by saying this, he was a little braggadocious about himself. He even writes about when he and Peter raced to the tomb and Jesus had resurrected, and he actually says that he was there first. He outran Peter. He was younger.
He was younger.
Yeah. Big burly Peter couldn't run that fast. So it was interesting. And you also find in John, he gives us a great description of what our Lord said. Jesus says this: "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love is no one than this, lay down his life for his friends. You're my friends. Do whatever I command you." So John's message was very much a endearing message. It was a very message of agape love, and he delivered that message so beautifully. And even at the very end of the Gospel of John, if I remember correctly, you have Peter, who Jesus challenges as the disciples had gone back to the fishing trade. Jesus had resurrected. He's on the beach there of the Sea of Galilee, and he's making some fish, and he's got bread over there. And, of course, they recognize it's the Lord. Jesus told them to cast it on the other side, and they get a great catch. And then Peter goes, "It's the Lord." He swims over, and then Jesus challenges him, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" three times. Because Peter denied the Lord three times. "Now, do you love me?" three times. "If you love me, then feed my sheep, tend my lambs, feed my lambs," and so forth. And so that message of love is continuous throughout the Gospel of John, not only in regards to himself, but also in regards to Peter and others and all of us. As you get to 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, then, of course, John had to endure what he had to endure in his persecution, and he didn't die, as many have said, he was boiled in oil, but he was then exiled to the Isle of Patmos, which Jesus then gave him the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, to show us and tell us the future of the church, which now is much of it is history to us, but there's still future events coming, and then, of course, the rapture of the church, and then the great tribulation period, Revelation 6 to 19, the unveiling of the Antichrist, the mark of the beast, the wrath of God being poured out against the Christ-rejecting world. Then we have also the second coming of Christ, then the thousand-year reign of Christ, the new heavens, the new earth, and the new Jerusalem. So God gave a lot of several great messages or books to John the Beloved, and he was just a very dedicated man. Also, the other interesting thing about John, Jesus told his John to take care of his mother Mary, as there she was at the cross. So he was very trustworthy, he was very responsible, very loyal, and very committed to be a loving man of God. Mike?
Amen. So I hope that helps, Johnny.
Yeah, that really answers it very much. Yeah, that's clear. I got another. I don't know if you guys heard of like Switzerland and some of the people are getting like microchipped or something, or to mm-hmm. get they're going like digital.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Like mm-hmm. 6,000 people or some number like that, and then also in another country that they're doing that. But right now, I know the Antichrist will force something like that. You know,
right?
I know
I don't believe that's the mark of the beast right now. It's very clear in Revelation, halfway through the tribulation period, that when the Antichrist makes everybody take the mark, name, or number on their hand or on their forehead, that is very clearly to be able to buy or sell and to sell out to the one world order. I don't believe anybody will take the mark by accident. Like, I've got the mark of the beast that's on my credit card in my wallet. No, not that. That's not what it's talking about. It's very clear when you have angels flying through the midst of heaven telling the people of the earth, do not take the mark of the beast. It is not what you think or what you do, as the Seventh-day Adventists say. It is very clear it is an actual mark on your hand or on your forehead. Ellen G. White said it's what you think and what you do. That is absolutely false doctrine, because man's problem has always been what he thinks and what he does. But what the Bible there is talking about, going back to the mark that God puts on the 144,000 Jews in Revelation chapter 7. When you get up to Revelation chapter 13, this is when the devil is marking his own. So it's very clear. So yeah, we're going to see a lot of this technology continue to develop. I think AI has a lot to do with it as well. And we're living in exciting times. We're coming up on a break. We'll be right back.
I need to discuss my options for abortion.
After a series of health issues, this mom felt termination was the only answer.
Was still borderline thinking abortion until the little part at the bottom of the ultrasound started moving, and we realized there were two, and I knew then.
Preborn's network of clinics are there for moms in crisis, offering free ultrasounds and the gospel in action. At just 11 weeks old, these twins cried out for life.
Just seeing that, I said, I can't. I can't.
To learn more, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
Hey, I'm Brant, and her name is Sherry.
Hello.
She's a friend of mine whom we were just praying for because of a surgery she just went through.
Yes, and I am very happy about something you actually talk about all the time, which is
MediShare.
That is right.
Yeah. So what was your experience like with MediShare and the healthcare bills?
Honestly, Brant, seamless. And what a blessing that is when you're already nervous about a health issue, which I was.
Yeah.
Members shared my expenses. There were zero problems. And let me tell you, having people pray with you when you call in with your needs, that is just...
It is refreshing.
Yes, that's what it is.
But yeah. I keep telling people, people love MediShare, and they love saving tons of money, too. The typical family can save $500 a month.
I am very thankful for MediShare. It is so different, and I mean different in a very, very good way.
It is good different. Call now. They're easy to talk to, and you can get a price within 2 minutes. Call 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE. 855-91-BIBLE.
I want to welcome you back to part two of To Every Man an Answer here on this Thursday afternoon with Daryl Skinner from Calvary Chapel, Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. And if you're in the Oahu area, I know he'd love to see you this Sunday. Again, what time is your services?
8:30 and 10:30 in the morning. And then we have a 5 o'clock service in the evening. So it's those are the times for Sunday. And of course, we have our midweek service Wednesday nights at 6:30. A women's study at 6:30 on Tuesday nights, by the way, for all the ladies out there. So my wife is teaching that one. So it's a great time getting into God's word.
Yeah. See, you might be from like Maine or North Dakota and you're over in Hawaii and you think, well, you know, I'll go check out Daryl's church. And you go there to Daryl's church and one of the realtors that are in his church starts talking to you as you have fellowship afterwards. And you think, you know, I could buy a house here and escape winter for good. And you never know how God will use that time.
Amen.
I always like that.
It's going to be 86 degrees today.
He's always got such a grand plan. All we have to do is just say, okay, God, you know, here am I. You lead me where you want me to go. And you never know. Maybe God has just put it in your heart that maybe your bones have only had enough winters and it might be time to move. And it might be very time that if you go to Daryl's church, you just might be able to change your... I'm just kidding. things that make you go,
There you go.
I digress. Okay. Back to the phones. We had Johnny on the line. John, I hope that answered it for you.
Yeah, it did. And also, so in 2 Thessalonians, the Bible, the word talks about the restraintment that is on the earth. And I believe that's like the Holy Spirit. And once like the restraintment is lifted off,
yep,
that the Antichrist will be able to reveal himself.
Sure.
So those people that are out there that have received that chip or whatever, that identification, I don't know. Like,
I think it'll be something different. I think it'll be a completely different thing. It'll be part of the numbering the world. It'll be part of this whole thing. I don't think somebody that, as an example, would have a chip today would be transferable into something else. This mark that we find in Revelation 13 is very clearly selling out to the Antichrist, the devil, and the one world order. It is very clear for that. And so I think we have to always remember that no one will take the mark of the beast by accident. It will be a deliberate, willful, disobedient act. You have the prophets, the streets of Jerusalem, warning the people. You have the 144,000, the Bible says, that are servants to the Most High. You have angels flying through the midst of heaven, telling people, do not take the mark, because if you do, you've damned your soul. And people say, oh, well, it can be forgiven. No, that is not what the Bible says. Well, I heard a man, a great minister, say that. Doesn't matter who says it. The Bible says no. And so we want to take God's word for what it says. So understanding that then, it's very clear that this mark is declaring your allegiance to a one world order, not to put a chip under your skin so you can unlock your car door in case you lose your car keys. Any last thoughts?
Well, yeah, out of 2 Thessalonians, it says that which is restraining, he who restrains will do so until that time. And that restraining work of the Holy Spirit is through the church today. The gates of Hades will not prevail against the church. We are salt and light on this earth. But when the rapture happens, then the restraining force through the church, which is us, will be removed. The Holy Spirit will still be here doing the work of salvation in the tribulation period, the 7 years of tribulation. So he's not like removed away from the earth or anything like that. People are still going to get saved. The 144,000 Jews are going to be sealed. They'll be preaching the gospel of Christ. No one can kill them. And they're going to do it for the 7 years. Then also you have people getting saved, Jews and Gentiles getting saved during the tribulation. Many, many, many will be martyred by the Antichrist. And as Mike shared about the mark of the beast and the people that are being shipped in Switzerland right now, what is revealing to us is like a precursor to what's going to happen. We have the technology, the ability that people could put something underneath their skin. And of course, the mark of the beast will be on the right hand or on the forehead. And as Mike said also, it's going to be an allegiance to the Antichrist. We're not there yet. We're getting close. But after the rapture, then these events will be taking place. And then 3.5 years in the tribulation, into the tribulation period, then the Antichrist will go into the rebuilt temple. He'll declare himself to be God. He'll blaspheme God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he's going to institute the Mark of the Beast, Revelation 13, and it's the mark is 666, of course, and some characteristic of that thereof. And so, and it'll be in the form of worship of the beast and all that in regards to it and allegiance. So those things will take place. But for these folks right now that are, you know, we chip animals right now, you know, in case they're lost, people are chipping themselves for easy purchases and so forth. That's fine. But that Mark of the Beast is going to be something very unique and very special. And he'll have full control over all the internet, all economic transactions, banking transactions, and so forth. And that's going to be the mark of the beast. So you don't want to be here during the tribulation, folks. You want to go up in the rapture of the church, give your heart to Christ. He's going to take us home like he did Enoch before the great flood of Noah's day. He'll do the same for the bride of Christ before for the tribulation and the wrath of God is poured out. Mike, I'll give
yeah,
it back
he
to you.
That with restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. We will be taken out of the way in the rapture. And right now there's enough Christians on this earth that if some guy came to power rather quickly, there's enough of us Christians that say, you're not the Christ, you're the Antichrist. But you know, when the church is gone, he's going to have free course to just really rapidly come to that place of world prominence with very little resistance. And we'll find that end time scenario unfold. Johnny, hope that helps.
It does. Thank you so much, Pastor. I appreciate you guys. I ran into your guys' station probably 10 years ago, and the first time I heard it, it just blew my mind. And at that time, I believed the Lord. I gave my heart when I was 20 years old or something like that. And I just appreciate you guys. My brother called the other day. His name was David, and I was listening to everything you guys were telling him, and I just feel truly blessed, you know, that God is working his hand in my family, and that I just keep reminding them that no matter how far you've gone, you can still turn back to the Lord. He loves you.
Amen.
He loves you.
Amen.
Thank you, brother.
And all I can tell you, Johnny, is the Johnny whom Jesus loves. That's what you always can remember. I'm the Johnny who Jesus loves. You can tell people that, as well as anybody else. Stay online. I want to send John a little book, Time to Grow. If you need more, let me know. And great for evangelism. Let's go to Michelle, Bend, Oregon. Hi, welcome.
Hi.
How can we help?
My question is, if I make the rapture,
yes,
and I don't understand how that we can all be happy and joyous 24/7. What if I am the one that ruins heaven? What if it's me? What if, because I don't know, I don't want to be the one. How do I know I'm not going to be the one? Because I don't understand.
Well, real easy. We've all lived in this world. We've seen what sin does. I've seen what sin does to me. I've seen what it's done to others. I've seen what it's done to our country. I've seen what it's done to the world. And that right there, dear, is why not only do we get a new body that's not prone to sin, but we also have the education of what rebellion against God is. Now, remember, when Lucifer rebelled against God, he was rebelling but didn't realize the consequences. We've all lived long enough on this earth to realize what the consequences are to come against the Lord. We see that. Again, in our own personal lives, we see that. Not only globally, but personally. And so that's why I believe the idea of us in our glorified bodies during the millennium, during the New Jerusalem, during any time after we go to be with the Lord, of rebelling against the Lord, I believe are absolutely impossible because we've already seen what it does. We already know what it does. And the reason even today we sin is because we live in this old body that's bent on sinning. The Bible says no good thing dwells in the flesh. Have we all lived long enough to realize that's the case? Have we all lived long enough to realize we must be born again? Now imagine with that heart of God that loves God and never to be tempted to sin again because we're out of a body, but that's its main game. That's what it wants to do is sin. It's in rebellion to God. That's why it dies. That's why we go, you know, 80, 90, 100 years and we kick off. This body is under the curse, but we're going to get a new body that doesn't want to sin ever. And we're going to have in that perfect environment soon to see Jesus face to face. And I think all the things that we've experienced here on this earth, I think will stand as a reminder throughout all of eternity that, hey, man, there's only one way to live, and that's for God. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, Michelle, that's a funny statement that you made. I kind of chuckled a bit, if you don't mind, just because thank goodness God is, he has the character of what's called immutability. He's immutable. He never changes. His love will be there for us forever and ever. He's not going to all of a sudden, you know, eons down the road and say, you know, Skinner, I'm tired of you. You're going to get kicked out of heaven. He won't do that. His promises are sure. But I'll share a couple of scriptures with you real quickly, hopefully. He says, behold, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15:51, behold, I tell you a mystery. Mystery is something to be unveiled. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible, incorruptible. Catch that word. And we shall be changed. It's a metamorphosis that takes place. For this corruptible, speaking of our who we are right now, this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So you won't be corrupted with evil thoughts or evil ways when you're in heaven. You're going to be perfected in the righteousness of Christ. There's another beautiful passage that is very comforting for our hearts. It's found in Philippians 3:20-21. It says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen close. Who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. So we're going to go through a metamorphosis and receive this glorified body. The Bible says we'll fully have the mind of Christ. We're going to be fully in the righteousness of Christ. There's not going to be any sin in us ever again. And that's a beautiful thing. We're not going to lie, cheat, steal, get jealous, be prideful, and all those things. Once we go to heaven, we get this beautiful glorified body that we're going to have in the rapture of the church. And then we come back for the 1,000-year reign of Christ. We need that body because we're going to be ministering people on earth. And then we're going to head off, as Mike said, to the new heavens, new earth, and new Jerusalem. And where righteousness dwells forever and ever. So there's no way any of us could ever revert back to being an ugly human being with bad attitudes or anything like that. We're going to be absolutely filled and overflowing with the joy of the Lord, with the peace of God, with the agape love of Christ. And it's going to, we can't wrap our heads around it. We just cannot, we can't fathom what it's going to be. Not to have any sin, not to have any evilness in us or wickedness, and also that our body would never ache again, and we're going to be so perfect. I can't wait. It's just one of those things. I can't wait. But to live is Christ, to die is gain, right? That's why Paul wrote that. Amen. But anyway, hopefully that helps, Michelle. God bless you. Mike, I'll give it back to you.
Michelle, I hope that does help, and God bless you for the call. If you'd like, stay online, send you out some books and DVDs. Is that all your questions? Is that good?
Yeah, I just didn't want to be the one to, like, make it up there and then just be like, okay, now what? I don't know how to be happy 24/7. I don't know how. I just didn't want to be the one.
Oh, well, you didn't want to be Adam for this world, huh? You didn't want to be the one that tripped the whole thing. No, we're going to get a body that isn't like that. And again, we've all seen what rebellion against God does. And you know, people have often asked, since God already knows who makes it and who doesn't, why do we have to go through this zoo we call living? I believe it's for this very reason, that we are instilled, we understand. Listen, when we get to heaven, we're not going to walk into heaven like a bunch of country bumpkins going, whoa, who am I? Who are you? No, not at all. The Bible says we're going to be known as we're known. We're going to know how we got there, why we got there. We're going to know who Jesus is. We're going to know who Moses is. We're going to know what the Bible says. We're going to be able to see. And we all know from reading the Bible what rebellion against God does. And so understanding that, wow, what a awesome thing that we're going to get a brand new body that doesn't want to sin. We're going to get a brand new heart. Everything is going to be fixed. And again, that's going to be really good. You know the Bible. You know what the Bible tells us we're going to do for all of heaven? We're going to sit on a big fluffy cloud and eat angel food cake. No, it doesn't say that. The Bible, stay off that one. That one's Mick Jagger's. No, hey, you get off my cloud. I'm sorry. But the Bible says throughout all of eternity, he's going to show us his greatness. Wow. What's beyond the stars? What's inside the atom? What's this whole new world, whole new heavens God's going to make? That's what we're going to get to see. I don't think there's going to be any time to rebel against God. I mean, why would you want to when things are good? Because, again, we see what rebellion does in this world. We don't want it there. Michelle, stay online. We'll send you out some books and DVDs I think you'll enjoy. If you got any more questions, hey, we're here for you. Call us, 8888-ASK-CSN, and we'll be glad to answer your questions for you. Let's go to Tammy in Oklahoma. Hi, welcome.
Hi.
How may we help?
Well, I wanted to say that I listen to you guys every day. And the other day when you mentioned about being a Democrat and going with the LGBT, I just wanted to say that I am not. I do not believe in that. I do not agree with it. I just wanted to say that.
Well, you know, my parents in the early years when I was growing up, they were Democrats. And I remember the party of, you know, Harry Truman and JFK and but then something began to change in the mid-60s, and it continued to change. And now we find something completely foreign to even the Democrat Party. In fact, they showed, you know, everybody's, you know, talking about all these things, and it showed clips from Hillary Clinton, from Bill Clinton, from Obama, talking about illegal immigration. And that sounds like they were mega. It sounds like they were voting for Trump because of what they were saying. So something mentality-wise, spiritually-wise, has really changed. And I think we have to be aware of that. And when they asked Mandani yesterday, are you a communist? He said, no, I'm a socialistic Democrat, or a Democrat socialist, because I have value for everybody. Well, we all have value for everybody. That was one of these word salad answers that really don't mean anything. That was a Mandani a thing. We all have respect. The only difference between a socialist and a communist is the way it's spelled. Remember, USSR, United States of Soviet Republic, the Soviet Republic, the Socialist Republic. The word socialist is in Russia's name. And so when someone says they're a socialist, they're identifying with Russia. That's what USSR means. You know, the United Socialistic States, you know, at Russia. You look at this and you realize that this is something that is so contrary to the United States. It's so contrary to our heritage. And to steal from people who work, to give it to people who won't, to not enforce laws, to do all these things. This is where I think so much of the problems that we have today are coming from. And when I see anybody, any party, Republican or Democrat, that is for criminals and for gang members and not prosecuting people that go up, this poor girl that got killed back east 2 weeks ago, just slaughtered from a guy that's been in and out of jail so many times they can't count. What was he doing back out on the street again? So this soft on crime stuff is so against the American people. That I don't know how anybody can continue down a road that thinks like this, that wants to blame the police for the crime in America. They actually do that. Well, we wouldn't have all this crime if it wasn't for cops. No, it's because they're trying to stop it. And so what they do then is they just simply don't report it. And these are our problems that we have. Daryl, you know, I know that you've seen a lot of this in your right. life as well.
Yeah, you know, we grew up in the 60s and the 70s, and we saw the big change in the Democratic Party, which became socialistic. And I did, years ago, I did a study on the Ten Commandments versus the Communist Manifesto. It was an interesting study. But I want to read you a real quick statement, if you don't mind. The Communist Manifesto represents a misguided philosophy which teaches the citizens to give up their rights for the sake of what's called the common good, quote unquote, but it always ends up in a police state This is called preventive justice. Control is the key concept. Read carefully. Here's your 10 subjects of the Communist Manifesto. Number one, abolition of private property. Number two, heavy progressive income tax. Number three, abolition of all rights of inheritance. Number four, confiscation of property of all immigrants and rebels. Number five, a central bank. Number six, government control of communication and transportation. Seven, government ownership of factories and agriculture. Eight, government control of labor. Nine, corporate farms, regional planning. 10, government control of education. That's the Communist Manifesto in the nutshell of 10 particular aspects. And this is what we don't want for our country. We don't want this at all. We want freedom. We want life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We want to call our own shots with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, do what God wants us to do without government control. Government is not our God. It is to serve the people and to protect the people, whether it be at war or through civil unrest or crime, as we would call it. And that's what we need. We need a government that serves the people, protects the people, but we don't need them to control the people. And you watch what took place throughout the years with, I remember Jimmy Carter came into power. We had tremendous gas prices and so forth. In fact, we even had gas shortages. You had to go on odd and even days to get gas. We were completely subjected to OPEC in the Middle East there, these Arab countries controlling our gas and so on. And then we came into the Reagan years, and then you had freedom, you had prosperity, you had peace, you had strength and so forth, and patriotism. Then we got Bush, and then it went into Clinton years, and Clinton had to finally give in the second term because of what was going on in the country. Was it going well? And then you got the Bush years, and then we find ourselves with the Obama years, and then, of course, Trump, and then we had the Biden. Oh, my, what a disaster that was. And now we've got Trump again. And his plans are good. They're good capitalistic plans. They're conservative plans. They're constitutional plans. And they're going to be unfolding in the next few years as he's been setting everything up in the first 6 to 7 months, 8 months here of this term, his 47th term, as the 47th president of his term. And it's going to unfold. It's going to bring, hopefully, as God blesses us, as we bless Israel, God will bless our nation, and we stand up for what is right. The Bible declares, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance, Psalm 33:12. So let's keep serving the Lord. Mike, give it back
Amen.
To you.
Amen. You know, so again, in these days that we live in, Tammy, we just have to do what God says to do and leave the rest in his hands. I hope that helps, dear.
Mm-hmm. It does. Thank you so much.
Tammy, God bless you. And again, I tell everybody everywhere, read Romans chapter 1. And the read Romans chapter 1 is so important. This is what God destroyed nations over. And when it becomes the main platform of your political party and God says he's against it, we have to do some changes. And so that's what all I'm saying. And even for anybody, no matter what their name brand is, if you're going to be against what God's word says, I'm against you. And that's just the way it works, because God changed me, changed my friends, changed my destiny of my life, changed everything. And so why wouldn't he change what I value and what I don't value? See, the world is valuing things that God doesn't value right now. Transgenderism, taking a small child that might be confused. Am I a boy or a girl? Well, let's just chop all your parts off. And a particular party sets back in. Yes, yes, chop those children up. The ones that we didn't get through abortion, we'll finish off by chopping them all up. I don't know, friends. I don't know. I don't know. I think people need to read Romans 1. So important in these days. Tammy, see you online. Send you out some books and DVDs, and let's go to Rick in Oklahoma. Hi, welcome.
Hey, pastors. How are you doing today?
Good. How may we help?
Hey, my son was asking. He was watching someone on YouTube, a pastor or a preacher.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he said he backed up with scripture, but he was saying that once you receive Christ as your Savior, and then you get water baptized,
mm-hmm.
then you get spirit baptized.
No, I don't
and
believe
then
that.
You receive your gift.
No, and Acts chapter 2. Yeah, Acts chapter 2 shows that was not the case. And also the Holy Spirit fell on the Gentile believers in Acts 8. Your thoughts?
Yes, salvation comes, and then you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You're born again of the Holy Spirit, as Jesus said, John chapter 3. And then what takes place? Well, we should get water baptized. It's identifying with the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our old nature is now buried, washed by the blood of Christ. As we come out of the water, we walk in the newness of life. We're new creatures in Christ. So,
but it's not. But it's not hinged upon being baptized, because yes. We find many people that were filled with the Spirit, and that had not yet been baptized in water, being filled with the Spirit. Case in point, Acts chapter 2. Check it out. Hope that helps, Rick Snell. I send you out books and DVDs. Thanks, Neil, for being on. Again,
Thank you.
Forward to being back with you tomorrow. So until then, keep looking up. Our redemption draws nigh. Good night. Ministry,
or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store, or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.